Harriet Tubman died more than a century ago. Photographs of her are grainy and fuzzy, and she's not the sort of person who would likely have posed for an expensive oil painting. Yet somehow her likeness has to be translated for printing on the new $20 bill. Creating that bill falls to the Treasury Department's Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Joining me now with how they'll do it, Bureau Director Leonard Oliar. Mr. Oliar, great to have you on.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be with you, and a very exciting time for us at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing.
So my first question is how you choose the image that you'll actually use, because there are a lot of pictures of Harriet Tubman. She looks very, very different as a young woman than she does toward the end of her life.
That is correct. We actually do a lot of outreach trying to look at different artwork. As a matter of fact, I was talking to the Harriet Tubman House Museum in Albany yesterday because somebody had recommended to us that they have a artwork of Harriet Tubman, a younger Harriet Tubman. There are a lot more images of her as an older woman, but not so many as a younger woman, so we're trying to look at all the artwork that is out there and use that to synthesize a engraved portrait of her.
How does the choice get made of which one you'll decide to go ahead with to engrave?
The designers look at the artwork and try to decide which one will reproduce.
So there's not a commission to decide this. You have employees at the Bureau and they'll make that choice?
They'll come to us with recommendations, and obviously we will go to the Secretary of Treasury to show what we've got and where we are in the design process. But the portrait is a critical security feature on the nation's currency. It's one of the things that catches people's eye, and they look at it, and it is helps us to keep counterfeit notes out of circulation. So we take a lot of time and effort to make sure that we've got a recognizable portrait that helps keep the nation's currency secure.
Now, at some point in history, the portraits would have switched from daguerreotypes or tintypes over to what we understand to be standard photography. Does that matter in terms of the engraver being able to take an image and turn it into an engraving?
It does matter because the quality of the image, you think where we are today with digital photography and the quality of the image that we can capture and will be available for the future is a lot more detailed than it was. And obviously, when you're talking about something that was done more than 100 years ago, the quality of that has deteriorated over time as well. But at the end of the day, we're not really looking to copy a piece of artwork. We synthesize a number of different images and come up with our own that is uniquely for the nation's currency.
And so you select someone then to, once the secretary picks the image, then what happens?
In the design process, we work, I'll say, with a digital design, and then we go to the actual engraved design with creating engraved plates that look very different from an image, kind of like you would see in a Photoshop image. We go to an image like you see on all the nation's currency. It's basically just etched lines in a plate that capture ink and then are transferred to the currency paper with 20,000 pounds per square inch of pressure, and reproduces very differently. And that process requires a lot of manufacturing testing with the design to make sure that the design can be manufactured consistently at a relatively low spoilage rate as well.
So this is a letterpress process made from metal that is etched away to produce the lines that that apply the ink?
Correct. We have shifted our plate-making process from the hand-engraved to using much more the computer to Intellio plate technology, and are using different functionality to create the end plate now, but the digital technology gives us the ability to embed some security features that we could not do with a hand-engraved plate.
Now, what will happen to the rest of the $20 bill? Because I imagine that this will be an opportunity to redesign all of that also.
Absolutely. The entire note, the front and the back, are going to get a makeover, including a new suite of security features that will be on the note. And that is, at this point in time, I'll say the biggest driver in the timeline is developing innovative security features for the nation's currency. On the $20 note, there are over 8.5 billion of them in circulation today around the world. So we need to make sure that we keep it safe and secure. By circulating around the world, there are counterfeit threats around the world that we need to address. That is the primary reason we do redesign, is for security.
We're speaking with Leonard Oliar, Director of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. And can you describe some of those security features that you hope to build into the new 20?
Not really. I can tell you that there are three different levels of security features that we put into the note. There are security features that the Federal Reserve Board, the nation's central bank, uses to authenticate currency when they process deposits. There are security features that we put in there for the banknote equipment manufacturers. When you go to vending machines or you're a giant and you're putting your $20 note into the machine, they are doing some authentication on features there. And in addition, one of the most important security features for us, kind of the first line of defense, is the features that the public can use on the note. You look at the $100 note that was the last one to be redesigned in that family, and the blue 3D security ribbon that we put there was specifically focused on the public and giving them a feature that was extremely difficult for counterfeiters to replicate and easy for the public to use to authenticate. And that's kind of the goal for us, is to come up with that type of a feature for the 5, the 10, and the 20 that are being redesigned. And we don't want to put the same feature on all of the notes, because then if you successfully counterfeit it, all of our notes become targets. As the denomination of the note gets higher, you have a more advanced technology security feature.
I'm looking at my wad of 100s right now, and yeah, you're right. I can see that blue ribbon. It comes out very well. And what is the timeline that you have for producing the new 20?
At this point in time, we have no firm timeline. It's driven primarily by the development of the security features, primarily the public feature. We've got features for the banknote equipment manufacturers and the central bank that are well along in the developmental stage. But in the public feature at this point in time, we have only early stage features, and it's very hard to project when those early stage features are going to be ready for introduction into the banknote design process. That said, the Secretary of Treasury has made it abundantly clear to us that he wants us to get these notes out as soon as possible, but security is paramount in doing so.
Will the equipment builders of banknote reading gear, like you mentioned, in the giant, will they have to modify their machines to accept this new money?
Absolutely. As part of the banknote redesign process, we coordinate closely with the banknote equipment manufacturers. We typically try to give them 9 months in advance the currency going into circulation. We will give them test decks that they can use to upgrade their equipment. And as you notice these days, you see a lot more banknote processing equipment out there as they were going to tellerless checkouts in a lot of retail establishments. So the cost of the private sector of these redesigns is becoming more significant in our effort. And the more time that we can give them to incorporate the upgrades, the happier they are with us.
Leonard Oliar is Director of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom. I would just ask folks if they want to take a look at where we are, and that the Treasury's website, modernmoney.treasury.gov, is available out there. And it actually has a compendium of all the women that were suggested for this redesign process from the public. It's been exciting for us to participate in it, and we're hoping that the dialogue doesn't talk about just who was selected, but the education process and the contribution of the women across a wider range happens in schools and homes.
All right, share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.